meantime, Jack Benny and Mary Livingston. Mary is opening a letter she has just received.
Who's the letter from, Mary?
Wait till I open it, Jack. Oh, look, it's from Mama.
Really? And what does the worst years of your father's life have to say?
I'll read it. My darling daughter, Mary, it certainly was exciting when you and Jack spent those few days with us on your last trip back east. It's too bad you had to dress in such a hurry that last morning to catch the train.
We barely made it, you know.
I didn't realize how much you'd rush till after you were gone. But don't worry, as I just mailed your toothbrush and Jack's hair. The one with the handle is the toothbrush.
No wonder I was cold on the trip home.
And, Mary, I must tell you about the wonderful time we had in Jersey City last Saturday. Papa's doctor invited our whole family to attend his medical convention, and it was very exciting.
Mm.
The doctor held a contest, and your sister Babe was voted Miss It Shouldn't Happen To of 1947.
I knew Babe could do it.
Please, Jack, let me finish the letter.
Oh, well, go ahead, kid.
And, Mary, after the convention was over, we drove home, and your sister Babe and her boyfriend were riding in the rumble seat. We hit a bump, and the seat snapped shut.
My goodness.
We worked for hours and couldn't get it open. So we called the minister and he married him through the keyhole.
Can you imagine that?
Your cousin Bobby blew rice at him through a straw.
Well, so Babe got married. Who's the lucky guy? That slap happy prize fighter she used to go with, Mercer?
No.
Oh.
It's another fella. She couldn't stand that prize fighter any longer.
Why? What happened?
Well, we'd be sitting in the living room, and every time the phone rang, he'd jump up, shake hands, and give her a right hook to the jaw.
Oh, well, I don't blame her. Go on with Mama's letter, Mary.
Mary, dear, last Saturday night, you missed a lot of fun, because Pop and I went to a big formal affair. Aunt Bertha's silver wedding.
Gee, has your Aunt Bertha been married 25 years?
No, 25 times. Now, Jack, don't interrupt anymore.
Okay, okay.
And, Mary, speaking of Aunt Bertha, do you remember little Harold, who was the ring bearer at her first wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's who she's married to now.
Well, what do you know?
No other news, Mary, except some neighborhood gossip that will really surprise you. Guess who murdered his wife this morning? We're closed now with love from your mother. Leilani Livingston. We pay track odds.
We pay track odds?
Mama used a business stationery.
Oh. Well, when you answer, send my love to your mother and $2 on Texas Sand Map.
Visit Jack Benny at his home in Beverly Hills, where at the moment we find Rochester trimming his hair.
Just a little more off the sides, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
You know, Rochester, it may sound funny, but when I was just a little kid, I had the most beautiful head of thick golden curls.
You did, boy?
Yeah. In fact, my mother was so proud of them that she gave a curl to every one of our relatives.
Well, you better write to them, boss. It's time to get them back.
Yeah. Hello, Rochester. How much have you trimmed off the side?
Almost a handful.
Good. Now sprinkle it around the top. Thanks. What are you laughing at?
This ain't no haircut. It's a landscaping job.
Well, it's a little trick I learned in agriculture school. Good old fertilizer tech. How are you doing?
I'm nearly finished.
Yeah. How does my hair look?
Fine, boss. You want to put it on now?
Yeah, hold the mirror for me, please. Hmm. You know, Rochester, I can't understand how the hair on a toupee can grow.
The ones you buy stay the same, but this is one of those you trapped yourself.
Well, I only trapped a few.
Yeah, but you better get rid of that one with the white stripe down the middle. You're losing all your friends.
Yeah. Now, Rochester, will you please brush the hair off my neck?
Okay.
I'll open my shirt first. There.
Say, boss, why do you wear that penny around your neck on a string?
It's for sentimental reasons, Rochester. This is the first penny I ever owned.
Oh.
And you know that dollar I have framed in my bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first dollar I ever owned.
Oh.
And you know that picture of my Maxwell that hangs in the den? That's the first car I ever owned.
That's the first car anybody ever owned.
What?
That car scared more horses than the meat shortage.
No, I don't know.
Say, boss, you want me to get a clean shirt for you to wear down the studio?
Huh?
You didn't forget your broadcast, did you?
How could I forget? The broadcast, always the broadcast. Year after year. Every Monday, I think of ideas. Tuesday, I meet with my writer. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we write. Saturday, I rehearse. And on Sunday, I do my program, and one short half hour, it's all over. All that work for just one half hour. And for what, I ask you? For what?
For a lousy $1 million.
No, Rogers, you have the wrong slant on life. Money isn't everything.
Boss, wake up! Wake up!
I am awake. And I meant what I said. You know, Rochester, there's an old saying that the best things in life are free.
Uh-huh.
Money is not everything.
Uh-huh.
Look out that window. Look at the sunshine, the fresh air, the birds, the trees, the blossoms. Right down the street, you can see. Hey, here comes the mailman. Wonder if he brought my salary check today. I hope so.
What happened to the birds and the sunshine?
Looks like rain, doesn't it, Roger?
Oh, mailman.
Rochester, before I go to the studio, I'm expecting Professor LeBlanc, my violin teacher, to come over and give me a lesson. So you better hurry up and shave me.
Yes, sir.
Got everything ready?
Yes, sir. It's all here. Hot water, towel, brush, shaving cream, razor, and plasma.
Good. Now make it quick.
Okay. Where do I get the cap off this new tube of shaving cream?
New tube? What happened to the old tube? There ought to be at least one more shave in it.
But, boss, you've been saying that since 1938.
What?
I didn't mind when you made me run it through the ringer.
Now, look.
And I didn't mind when you asked Don Wilson to sit on it.
Roger.
But when you made me take that tube down to the Union Station and lay it on the track and wait for the super chief, that was going too far.
Well, all righty, to say it's empty, I'll take your word for it. Go ahead, open that new tube.
Do you want me to christen it with a bottle of champagne?
No. Wait a second, Roger. No use opening that shaving cream. Use some of that over there.
This? But, boss, are you sure this stuff is good for shaving?
Certainly, it says so on the box. Does everything. Now, hurry.
Okay, I'll lather up your face. Look at that soap foam. Are you still under there, boss?
Yes, and be careful when you use the razor.
Okay, now let me see. Two ears, one nose, one chin.
Two ears, one nose, one chin. Rochester, what are you writing that down for?
After I finish shaving you, I call the roll.
Oh, don't be silly. Now get on with the shave.
All right. I'll put on a little more lather. Come in!
Bonjour, Rochester. Monsieur Benny is expecting me to give him a violin lesson. He said, Sacre bleu, that looked delicious.
Professor, stop trying to blow the foam off. It's me. Get your foot off my knee. It's not a brass rail. Now, come on, Rochester. Get this over with.
Sit down, Professor. You're next.
Be careful with that razor.
Yes. Mr. Benny, lean way back and lift your chin up. I want to get your neck nice and smooth.
Okay. Roger, what'd you stop for?
I was just wondering, boss. Do you think this would be a good time for me to ask you for a raise?
No, it wouldn't. I'll take it easy.
Yes.
And as soon as you're through, out. Rochester, you cut me.
It's about time you felt it. I did it a minute ago.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
I was waiting for you to bleed.
Don't be funny. Did you cut me bad?
That's nothing, boss. I just snipped the stem off your Adam's apple.
Clumsy thing. I'll have to buy a collar button. Well, wipe the soap off my face. Thanks. Oh, Professor, I'll go put on a tie, and then I'll come back for my lesson.
Oui, monsieur. Rochester, the cut to Monsieur Benny's throat, is it a bad one?
No, it's not deep at all. And it's all my fault.
No, Rochester. It was my fault. I didn't push your hand hard enough.
Something wrong, Professor?
Now, Monsieur Benny, you are holding in your hand a very difficult instrument. The music from the violin is like the singing of the angels, like the murmur of the breeze, like the rippling of the brook. Now, play.
Gee, it does sound like that, doesn't it?
We'll try it again. And this time I will help you. I will count off.
Okay.
Ready? 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and... Softly like a birdie chirping, you sound like a horse that's burping. Make the notes a smoother mixture, this is worse than your last picture. My poor head is getting woozy, onesie, twosie, I hate yousie. Monsieur Benny, Monsieur Benny, the violin is an instrument that is supposed to soothe you, to calm you, to make you relax, to settle your nerves. The singing of the angels, the murmuring of the breeze, the rippling of the brook.
Professor.
Oh, forgive me, Monsieur Benny. I lost my temper.
Oh.
I wish it was my hearing.
What?
Never mind, never mind. We will proceed with the next lesson. Intermezzo.
Ah, that's what I like. Intermezzo, that classical stuff.
Proceed, please.
Thank you.
No, no, Mr. Benny. You must not go... You must go deedle 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 deedle.
Oh, I see. I'll try it again. Deedle 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 deedle. Is that what you want?
Mr. Benny, you must deedle on your fiddle. Today the lesson is over. True, fini. I will see you next week.
Oh. Well, okay, Professor, but tell me, do you think you can make a great violinist out of me?
Well, I think I can do something for you, but it will take time. How old are you?
Why?
How much time have we got left?
Plenty. I'm only 37.
Mr. Benny, I will see you next week.
All right. Goodbye, Professor.
24 years and all he knows is la 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 la. If I wasn't so hungry, I wouldn't come back.
I've done so many exercises, I'd rather play something like Souvenir.
Maybe later, but right now, let us get back to the exercises. And this time I will count for you.
Yes, sir.
1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and... Watch the notes that you are striking. Bend your thumb, you're not hitchhiking. Play the notes a little thinner. I don't want to lose my dinner.
I am sorry I left Paris. You are even worse than Harris.
Oh, Monsieur Benny, Monsieur Benny, how long have you been playing the violin?
Oh, I've played the violin since I was a little baby.
A little baby?
Yes, in fact, if you look closely at my violin, you can see my teeth marked.
Monsieur Benny, after hearing you play, those could be anybody's.
Now, wait a minute. I'm paying you to teach me, not to insult me. I'm not playing so well today. Maybe it's because my fingernails are too long.
Long fingernails have nothing to do with it.
Well, your fingernails are short.
They were long when I came in here.
Stop spitting them on the rug. For heaven's sake, I'll try it again.
Please. And this time, just follow these simple instructions. Relax. Be calm. And slide the bow delicately over the strings.
Is that all?
That is all. Now commence. One, two. You see, it sounds better already.
They're fixing the screen. I'll try it once more.
No. Let us call it a day. The lesson she has done.
Tut, Professor. Look at the clock. The lesson still has 14 seconds to go.
14 seconds.
That's right.
And then you will give me back my pants.
Yes, sir.
Very well. Commence. I forgot myself.
Well, Professor, the lesson is over. You may go now.
But, Monsieur, you have forgotten something. You have not paid me.
Oh, yes. By the way, Professor, would you like some lunch?
No, I want the money this time.
Well, I'll have to get it for you. Excuse me a minute.
I went to a lecture on psychology. This lecture covered the particular phase called schizophrenia. As I left the auditorium, I ran into...
Don.
Huh? Oh, hello, Jack.
Don, what are you doing downtown?
I just attended a lecture on schizophrenia.
Schizophrenia, eh? Well, Don, I guess it's all right, but with butter being plentiful again, nobody will use it.
No, Jack. Schizophrenia isn't a food.
Then, Don, why did you go?
Jack, schizophrenia is a psychological subject dealing with dual personalities. You see, everybody has two sides, the good side and the bad side.
Oh, Don, that's a lot of food.
Oh, no, Jack. It's true. Everybody has two sides.
Don, you've got four sides, but that doesn't prove anything. Dual personality.
Certainly, Jack. There's a little man inside of all of us that subconsciously governs everything we do. So you see, everybody is really two persons.
Well, you can believe that if you want to, but I certainly don't. Any man in his right mind would... Excuse me, Don.
What's the matter, Jack? Do you have a cold?
Oh, just a little one. Oh, darn it, I forgot a handkerchief. Here, I'll stop in this little haberdashery and get one.
Okay, Jack. I'll wait for you out here.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I'd like a handkerchief, please.
A plain one or something with lace?
Uh, plain one, something inexpensive. I already have two of them at home.
Yes. Now, here's a plain little handkerchief for 10 cents, and here's one that's softer for a quarter.
I see. Well, gee, I don't know which one to get. This one's a quarter, and that one's 10 cents, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know. I like the look of that quarter one, and yet...
You know which handkerchief you're going to take, Jack Benny.
What?
You're going to take the 10 cent one.
Yes, but the quarter handkerchief is softer, and it's much better for my nose.
A lot you care about your nose. Come on, take the 10 cent one and let's get going.
No, I can't take it. I want the quarter one. Do you hear? I want that quarter handkerchief.
I know you want the quarter handkerchief. But remember, Jack Benny, if you buy the one for a dime, you save 15
cents. 15 cents. 15 cents. Don't work. That sounds like the quartet that worked for me.
15 cents.
Stop it. Where are those voices coming from? I don't care about the money. I only came in the store to buy a handkerchief. I don't care what I save. I want the soft one. Hey, mister, give me that quarter handkerchief.
Yes, sir.
Jackie boy, reflect a little. That soft handkerchief costs a quarter. 2 dimes and a nickel. 25 pennies. Think, man.
What?
25 cents for a handkerchief. Do you want to blow in that much?
Okay. Hold it, clerk. Hold it, please.
Well, make up your mind, will you? Which handkerchief do you want?
Take it easy. I'm in conference. Oh, I don't know what to do. I want the quarter one. And yet...
You know what you're going to do, Jack Benny. You never bought a quarter handkerchief in your life, did you?
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Then why? Why do you steal paper napkins from restaurants?
I don't steal them.
Stop! Get away from me! If you don't, I'll go crazy.
Will you please decide which handkerchief you want? There's another customer waiting.
Yes, I'd like to buy a handkerchief, please.
Yes, sir. I have one with a hand-rolled hem for $5, and here's one that's pure Irish linen and sells for $7.50.
I'll take the $7.50 one, please.
Here you are. Thank you very much. And now, what about you, sporty? What? Have you made up your mind yet? You know I close at midnight.
Give me just another minute. I'll decide.
25 or 10 cents.
Stop! I'll go mad, I tell you. Mad! Do you hear me? Mad!
Not as good as
how did I get in there? Say, clerk, I've made up my mind. Give me that quarter handkerchief.
Okay, you want the 10 cent one.
The quarter one.
The 10 cent
one. The quarter
one. The 10 cent one.
All right, give me that 10 cent one. I'll take it. I knew this would happen to me.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, We take you to Carnegie Hall, where we find America's foremost violinist, Jack Benny, playing a symphonic arrangement of Love in Bloom.
Could I have A, please, Professor? That's close enough. If you please, Maestro.